That's her, Erica Kane. That's Louisa, that cheating, no good son of a bitch's mother. Who the hell are you? And why are you blaming everything on my son? Because your son, Manzo, is a no good cheating liar. By you, my son would wipe his feet on you. Shut up, slut. Bitch!
Now, ladies, there must be a way to solve this amicably.
Yeah, I'll cut her heart out and eat it for lunch. You think that, you puta!
Now, ladies, please. This isn't any way to work this out. I'm just little old Erica Kane here. Over here. Please stop fighting. Please. Help.
Esta semana en todos mis hijos.
This week on all my children.
Nadie empuja a Erica Kane. Carmen y Erica desafían al mando y su mami.
No one pushes Erica Kane. Carmen and Erica challenge Armando and his mommy.
Jesse and Angie renew their vows.
Aww.
And Amanda got 3 lines this week.
But where the f*** is Josh?
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending April 4th, 2008.
And another bang up week in Pine Valley, I can tell you that.
Almost literally. Almost literally bang up. I wanted to see a little more banging, though.
A little more banging. Yes. A little more banging at all my children.
We didn't have enough banging this week.
We
didn't have any banging?
But not on screen, but we're assuming that Jesse and Angie were doing a little hook in the background.
They were all over each other this week.
They were all
each other.
Yeah, and I was loving it.
Yeah, I loved it. I changed my mind.
It was a good week on All My Children. I know we're not going to agree on everything.
Not on everything, Jordan.
But we're going to, you know.
But we're going to agree on a lot.
What do you want to start off with?
I think we got to start with my favorite telenovela. Erika y Carmen.
On the run. How do you say on the run in Spanish?
I don't know.
Oh, we don't know. We're the worst two Spanish.
We are both Puerto Rican, and we were calling. I called my mother. He called his mother.
I was calling everybody. I called my best friend, Iris.
Everything was so funny. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, we got to start with Erica. But one thing we do know is we know enough about the novelas to know that this is very, almost identically like a telenovela. They call them telenovelas, but novelas,
yeah.
We call them.
Yeah.
And novelas in like Spain and Mexico and Puerto Rico, you don't even know people. Like, you think All My Children is crazy?
Yeah, Spanish soap operas are insane. But they're fun.
They're
fun to watch. You get really caught up. And I mean, there's a difference between good camp and bad camp,
yes.
People. And right now what's going on All My Children is it's camp, but it is some fun, happy camp. I love it.
It's fun.
You want some bad camp, turn to Bold and the Beautiful. They got a storyline now that's awful and campy.
Really?
Oh,
I thought you said you didn't watch it.
No, I don't watch it, but I watch Guiding Light and As the World Turns, so they show the commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is bad camp. It's not. The actors are not getting it. It's just over the top. It's not doing something that's campy. It's an art. And I got to tell you, All My Children has it right down.
They're doing pretty good. I got to admit.
Well, because All My Children's always been like that. The history of the show has always been like a little bit of comedy mixed with, you know, the reality of the situation. I mean, All My Children really was like a groundbreaking soap when Agnes Nixon created it. And
right.
they broke the mold as far as like what soap operas used to be. All My Children was this kind of show that, you know, they made things happen. They were the first ones to do everything. And then everybody followed them. So, and I'm glad that it's getting back, because this week was like a tribute to Miss Erica Kane.
I think so.
It's like the writers and the producers were like, you know, we got to apologize to Susan Lucci and the fans for treating this character like crap for so long.
Yeah, you can say crap.
We are like treating her for crap and the character for crap for so long, giving her a horrible storyline that we're gonna give her a great storyline. And they reminded us how great this character is and how this character's come a long way.
Well, I gotta hand it to them, because I think that for once they have done a very good job finding the people to pull it off.
Yes.
You know, the actors to pull it off. Because Elizabeth Rodriguez is such a gem.
I know.
Even that woman who plays Armando's mommy.
She was
Luisa was really funny. I don't think she's Latina.
You don't?
She slipped on one line at the end of the week. She said something like, I forgot what it was. I wish I could be like you.
Like
it came out like Italian. Like she was almost trying to do it like... Spanish, but it came out like Italian.
Well, you sound Jewish sometimes.
I'm a woman of many voices, as Arizona Gal pointed out. Thank you for the compliment, Arizona Gal. Arizona Gal pointed out that she likes my Erica impression. She likes my Crystal impression. She likes my other impressions.
I always tell you that I love your impressions. I think
but
you
listen,
sound really good.
But that's
good.
Not the question, because Taylor did Josh. He did Di. Who do you do, Jordan Hudson?
I don't know. I got to work on that. I haven't like had the pleasure yet. I used to like do people, but not like. It's been a while.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, Jordan
Hudson.
Put
him in the spot.
You do not have to do any impersonations on my show. We are just blessed to have big soap encyclopedia brain of yours. Let's talk about Miss Erica Kane and Miss Carmen Morales. I don't even know where to start. Let's just start at the beginning of the week. My first note to myself, people, because you know I love doing the show, so I love taking extensive notes on all my children. My first note to myself is that I love watching comedy in the daytime.
Yes.
I love it. It's been so funny and so silly. It's been a lot of fun. Well, first of all, back in the beginning of the week, so much happened this week that it seems like years ago that they were in that damn truck.
I know, right? So much happened in the week for them. Like, right? I just realized that. Yeah, that was Monday.
So that was Monday's episode. The truck driver opens the truck and he recognizes Erica. And Carmen has the gun on her. So Erica's like all scared. So she denies it. Like she works with Carmen because Carmen still has the gun in her back.
Because Carmen was like, before he even opened it, Carmen was like, you think fast, Erica Kane.
Yeah, totally.
I laugh every time. Like, it's the first time I'm hearing her call her Erica Kane. She cracks me up every time she calls her Erica Kane. I just think that's hysterical. Everything's Erica Kane.
It's like Chef on South Park.
I know you said that last week.
It's really funny. I love it. Anyway, so he talks about, because he remembered her on New Beginnings and how his wife loved New Beginnings. So Erica Kane is like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, I'm so glad you like my show. So he goes, yeah, my wife watched a show. She got herself a new beginning, all right, with another man. It was so camping.
I loved it. It was hysterical.
It was great. So then Erica and Carmen are like, nope, you know?
And then, go ahead.
And then Carmen mouths off. Like, what did she say?
I forgot, but he said something nasty. Like, he was, like, threatening Erica. And then Carmen was like, don't you realize who she is?
This is Erica Kane. You don't threaten Erica Kane.
You don't threaten Erica Kane. I was like, she was like a pit bull defending her master. I thought it was hysterical.
So then he goes to call the cops. And then Erica says, go ahead. Go ahead and make that phone call. You'll go to jail yourself.
Something like that, because the dresses were fakes.
She tells this whole belabored story about how these dresses are fakes. I know a Leah. I know a Marcus Leah when I see one. This is a fake. And you're transporting them across state lines. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
It comes up with this whole convoluted story. And he buys it.
Hook, line, and sticker. He lets them go. And then Carmen's looking all sad and blue. And Erica's like...
And Carmen says, Erica, were they fakes? And Erica goes, no, I made it all up. I made the whole thing up. Aren't I clever?
Yeah, it was
delicious.
It was very cute.
So they find like a Walmart, like a total superstore. And Erica has never set one of her little tiny Jimmy chewed feet into a superstore ever in her life.
I know. She was amazed. She was fascinated and amazed.
That you could buy like dresses and tuna fish in the same place. She thought it was like the most brilliant idea. Like she was almost mad she hadn't thought of it herself.
I know. She could have started a chain.
She would be Sam Walmart right now.
Yeah.
Multi-billionaire.
Kane Mart.
That's Kane Mart. Because fashion should be accessible to everybody.
There you go.
And so should tuna. So they're in this store and they go to sleep together. They find a bunch of stuff. Actually, before that, though, Erica finds
the little
nail file.
She slips it.
She goes to take it, right? So she slips it in her pocket and Carmen turns around. She's like, I'm not stupid. I saw that. And then Carmen looks at her. She goes, I'm not stupid. You looking down on me. You think I'm nothing. You think I'm trash. You think I'm poor. You think I'm nothing. Well, I'm not nothing, lady. I'm something. Something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. There you go.
So, which was ridiculous because Erica did not look at her in any such way.
I know, but Erica went with it. She's Erica smart. Erica's smart. She's Erica on top of everything.
Went with it. And then Erica goes on a tear. This has to be the moment of the week, people. If you did not catch it, I believe that it was Tuesday's episode.
Tuesday, April 1st.
Tuesday, April 1st. You got to YouTube it.
Soapnet it.
You got to soapnet it. You got to do anything you can to catch classic Erica Kane in action.
It was beautiful.
As per our friend Becky on the blog, I'm going to try to do a very humble reenactment of the Erica Kane and Carmen scene, featuring Ashley Mendoza as Erica Kane and Jordan Hudson as Carmen. Carmen. Carmen.
Yes.
Carmen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I don't know what she said at this point. She didn't say nothing.
She didn't say nothing. Carmen.
Yes.
I haven't always been Erica Kane. The difference between me and so many others is that if I was going to be rich and famous, I would have to do it myself. Oh, yes. I wanted to be rich and famous. I started modeling when I was a teenager. I started a disco called Erica's.
Is that when it finally happened for you?
My skin broke out, yes. That is indeed when I broke out into horrible pimples.
Are you talking about those flashbacks? Leave my Angie Lucha alone.
I gotta cut in my reenactment for a second. People, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. The pimples and the big nose and the cheek fat on Erica Kane. She was almost indistinguishable as Erica Kane.
My God, that was in 1970-something.
Maybe
80. People change. And I personally think that women age beautifully. I think a woman just looks hotter when she gets older.
I'm not trying to be harsh.
She's gorgeous now. I rewound
my DVR about 82 times because I was fascinated.
And she was telling me all about this. And see, we're not going to agree on that.
It was grease paint, all right? They used that back then. They used that grease paint. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't use normal makeup. Hold on. And Erica had grease paint painted over pimples and whiteheads. It was all over her face and
chin. It was the 70s.
But why couldn't she get a facial? They have facials in the 70s.
Obviously not like they have it today.
Honestly, I felt bad for Miss Erica King. Her nose looked even bigger. People, like, she had a little bit of work done on that nose. You can't tell me she didn't. And her cheeks were plump.
I refuse to believe it.
I'm just saying,
show me the receipts. Show me the receipts.
If I was Susan Lucci, I would be killing somebody. I would be going right up to that Julie Hannon Carruthers office and knocking her silly.
No, I'm glad they showed those clips because you know what? It went with what she was telling Carmen.
It was awful.
I loved it.
I was fascinated. But the content of it was fun because it was, first of all, Mark Cuddihy was there.
Oh, yeah. Remember Mark? Oh, I miss Mark.
I miss Mark and Ellen so much.
Oh, Ellen. You remember Ellen. I loved Ellen.
Mark and Ellen.
Yeah, well, I liked Ellen with Ross.
You did?
Yeah, I was a big Ross and Ellen fan.
He didn't have no chemistry.
No, they did. I loved Ross with Ellen.
No, Ellen and Mark, because Mark was always a substance abuser, was so interesting to me. And she was with him through his ups and downs.
I know,
and he did so much
to her.
I know, but that's what makes it interesting to me. Like, they were true loves. Like, Ross was like the solid guy, you know?
No, Ross screwed around.
He had Natalie, but he was boring.
I liked some Ross.
Boring. Back to Erica and Carmen.
Yes.
She made Carmen start to cry. I think this was the part that did it. I've had tons of sadistic men after me my whole life. My father. Hey, I could have ended up alone and miserable and out of my mind. But when you believe in something, when that something you believe in is you, you can pick yourself up and you can try again and you will never be a failure. You can make your dreams come true.
Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. You can't see me right now, but the tears are coming down my face.
Carmen was fabulous.
Kudos to you, Elizabeth Rodriguez. You kicked ass in that scene.
Or as I say, kudos.
Kudos. Kudos. Kudos. Whatever.
Speaking of mispronunciations.
What?
Frank Valenti.
Yes, I was told that we were pronouncing his name wrong, and it's Valentini.
I thought it was Valenti too, but it's Frank Valentini.
Frank Valentini.
I thought it was Frank Valenti.
I still like Valenti.
He's one of the directors and executive producer, but he often directs One Life to Live.
Yeah.
Very attractive man. Very bitchy, but very attractive man.
You don't know him. He's not bitchy.
I heard about him on Saturday. Yeah. He's a little bitchy.
Yeah.
I heard a little bit.
Well, he's a high power man. He's in charge of one of the I think, one of the only remaining good shows on daytime.
And looks very nice in a pair of Diesel jeans.
And I don't really watch One Night's Live, but I got to say,
he's skinny.
It's one of the only soaps that looks like a soap still.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What's her name is pregnant?
Who?
Star?
Little Star, yeah.
Little Star is pregnant. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, that is such a great storyline.
What?
The Little Star is pregnant. Because that's realistic.
That is real. Well, the thing that's good about One Night to Live is that there's
Teenagers have sex.
There's all these generational storylines going on. You got everybody from Little Star to like Grandma Vicky, and they all have major storylines. The cast interacts with each other. There's different sets. Not everything takes place in the hospital or the pier. Because, you know, in General Hospital, everything takes place in the pier.
Yes.
People get married. People die. It's like everything's on the pier. So, like, One Night to Live, I don't know who, you know, Frank's fooling around with at ABC, but they seem to be giving One Night to Live all the money.
I love it.
Because all my children still, you know, they could afford a couple of more sets. I mean, everything kind of takes place, like, you know, in somebody's apartment. It's like, you know.
Right.
And, like, because somebody, you guys were commenting on that. You said that, why isn't nobody acknowledging the fact that, like, Jesse and Angie are living in Josh's apartment?
It's not his, right?
I don't think it's his. I think Josh lives in 3A and they're in 4A.
I think that's true.
In other words, it's the same set, but I think they just put, like, different furniture.
But why
is
Greenlee's apartment so different from every other apartment in that building?
Uh-huh, because she's on the other side. She's in 4B.
Are you serious?
What, Greenlee?
I was almost believing you. You know, she might be the penthouse, right?
She's in the penthouse. They can't afford. You know what? They can't afford sets on all my children.
No, you're right. But I hate seeing Jesse. I mean, that's another story. But I hate seeing Jesse and Angie in that cold apartment.
Well, I don't think they would get an apartment. I would think they would get a house.
They lived in a home.
I would think they would want to get a house.
They need like a Tad Martin style home.
Well, they could get Mrs. Remington's house. Her set was nice.
Ooh,
and she's dead.
Right.
They should move into Mrs. That's too weird. They should move into Mrs. Remington. That would be weird.
That would be terrible.
That would be, yeah. No.
That poor lady died.
I know, but she had a nice apartment. I mean,
and,
nice house.
And nice
that was
hair.
A nice house. I liked her hair.
It was a wig.
I still liked it.
It was a nice wig.
It was a nice wig. I like Mrs. Remington. I'm
all
sad
right.
They
long story off. Short, people. Carmen falls asleep, dead asleep. Erica takes her nail file.
And she becomes MacGyver.
Frees herself, and she becomes MacGyver.
MacGyver.
And she pulls that gun, which I was a little worried. Because Erica was holding the gun, I was a little bit worried that her wrist would snap.
You would leave her alone.
She's so thin and light and
leave
delicate.
Her alone.
I was a little worried about her. Anyway, so her wrist didn't snap.
The tables have turned.
The tables have turned.
Yeah, I love that line.
It was brilliant. But listen, what was kind of fun at this point is she decides that she goes to call Zach.
Right.
And she tells Zach that she's free. Actually, she goes to leave first. They go and they say their separate ways, and Carmen looks all sullen. She's like,
Yes, she was very sad.
Yes. Do you guys ever watch Arrested Development?
Yes.
Do you remember the episode where the son, George Michael, is sad, and every time he's sad, he walks with his head down, and the music from Charlie Brown comes? That music was playing when Carmen and Erica separated.
It was very sad.
It was very sad. But then, thank God, Erica snaps out of it and turns back and decides that she's going to create a new beginning for Carmen.
Yes.
I got a question.
What?
What the hell happened to the gun?
Huh?
Erica took it?
The gun?
Yes.
Yeah, Erica took it.
That's right. That's right, because it showed up in the end. Okay. Yeah. At the time, they didn't explain, and I was all freaked out. This is what happens. They raid the Kane Mart for all the beauty products.
Right.
Right? And she makes Carmen over, and they take one of the dresses, and they go to see Mando's mommy in Chicago. Now, this is really funny. Now, Carmen is going off. She's chomping at the bit, foaming at the mouth because she's so angry at Mando. Uh-huh. So Erica says, you have to be quiet. You have to be quiet. If this is not going to work unless you're absolutely silent. Remember our promise. And Carmen goes, I'm a mime. And she mimes. And I loved it. But then this is the point of the show where Jordan and I have some disagreement.
And I'm going to explain why we're disagreeing on it.
Can I tell them what happens first?
Okay.
The door opens. Louisa lets them in. Erica Kane is in an adorable little baseball cap and
Erica Kane's looking very J-Lo.
Very Kane Mart.
She was very Jennifer
Lopez. She definitely got her outfit at the Kane Mart.
She had the hair up in a little baseball cap with her big hoop earrings and her little short and a little time. She looked like she came off of J-Lo's video. I was on the floor.
She absolutely got that at the Kane Mart, without a doubt. But it was cute. She looked adorable. Her neck was beautiful. Everything about her is so beautiful. now, not in 20 years ago. Ooh, 20 years ago. I don't know, Miss Lucci. Anyway, I gotta say it. People tune in for the unabashed truth, Jordan Hudson.
Go ahead, keep going.
They don't tune in to hear a Disney show, a Disney Eyes version of All My Children. They tune in for truthful, in-depth analysis. Snarky analysis, snarky, if you will.
Snarky?
Snarky. That's what Taylor used to say. He liked that word. I never knew that word, but he said it's good. Snarky. So they open the door. Louisa lets them in into this, like, completely over-the-top furnished apartment. It's like it's Louis the 15 chairs are like these bold patterns that are like so loud and Louisa. What I did like is that Louisa's kind of a sexy mom. She's probably like literally 10 years older than Carmen and her son. Actually, she's probably 20 years older than her son, because I'll get to that later, but Armando is way too young for Carmen. That kid was like 20 years old. Carmen ain't no 20-year-old no more. You know what I'm saying? Oh, remember the part where Carmen talked about how she was a slut? Carmen.
Yes.
That was kind of fun. Carmen talked about when she was a slut.
No, but see, you're simplifying it. Carmen didn't say she was a slut. She just said that
she said she got around.
She
thought that the men could give her love.
If men liked her, right. That would make it was make a her very special. It was a very
no,
deep.
I don't mean
scene.
To yes, I yeah. don't mean to put it down like simplify like that, because it was actually like a really revealing.
It was her revealing how why
yeah,
she
does. A lot of women
and
do
I
that
think
though.
That, and I think that like Erica saw a little bit of her. And, you know.
Because God knows Erica got around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but. I don't mean. Stop simplifying it and making it seem like they're sluts just because they sleep around.
Listen, I ain't saying nothing like that. I said they got around. I'm saying it happens to the best of us. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, anyway.
Men are users and abusers. And that's what happens.
Oh, I agree with you on that one.
Thank you.
So, can I get an amen, sister?
So, anyway. The mommy is 10 years older than Carmen, and she's wearing this low-cut blouse and this actually really pretty necklace. I like the necklace. And she got real short hair. She got a lot of makeup. And she like this. La, 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 la. My son.
Oh, Louisa was ghetto down. I love
Louisa.
Louisa
was ghetto out.
Louisa was
who
hysterical.
Are you?
Who are you?
Who is this girl? She's trash.
She's
she
trash. My son would never like this
my
one.
My son wouldn't wipe her feet on this one.
She
very over the top.
It was excellent.
Silly stuff. She doesn't recognize Erica Kane.
I know, but then Carmen, Pitbull Carmen came to the bench. She goes,
right.
What do you mean you don't recognize her? That's Erica Kane.
But what happened was at first it was sort of like a discussion, and then the tables turn and Erica pulls the gun on the lady.
Right.
Now the lady ain't afraid, because Louisa don't think that Erica Kane is going to pull no gun. And she right, because the second Erica Kane throws one shot, Erica Kane is in big ass trouble.
But we forgot the most important thing. Why did Erica break out with the gun? Because Louisa pushed her.
Oh, that's right.
Louisa pushed her, and it was the line of the week when Susan Lucci broke out with a gun and said, "Nobody pushes Erica Kane."
I loved it.
And that's when I fell off my seat and I had to rewind the DVR because I was hysterical.
But the rest of it goes a little downhill for me.
Not for me. I thought it was
fabulous. A little downhill for me. Basically, Mando comes in finally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Erica does this maneuver because Luis goes, "Run, Mando, run!" And he goes to run and Erica kicks the door like Jennifer Garner.
I loved it.
And she pulls a gun on Mando. And she got them both seated down. And this is where it gets really cute, okay? Carmen doesn't confront Mando like she said she's gonna. She's like, "How are you, baby?
You look thin.
You look thin. Have you been eating? Are you all right, baby? I miss you." It was pretty good. All right, that was pretty good.
It was good.
But then, this is where it gets stupid. Real damn stupid. Erica's like, "Carmen, what are you doing? This is the man who abused you, who put you in jail." And she walks away from the door and waves the gun in her little 10-ounce hands. And, of course, Louisa grabs the gun
right.
and pulls it on Erica.
But see, I disagree with you. I don't think it's dumb. Because you know why?
Why?
Because Erica's not Jennifer Garner from Alias. So the fact is, she's just Erica Cade. I mean, she's not used to having holding people at gun.
It was pure Cam. He's trying to justify Cam.
I am justifying it because it is true. I mean, first of all, I thought the whole fact that Erica got upset with Carmen, I thought that was great. I love the fact that she was funny. Reading Carmen. Because here, this woman's been
Erica's eyes popped out of her head the second Carmen started saying, baby.
This woman took you on the run by handcuffs, dragging you around for like how many days?
Yes.
Took a cab to Chicago talking about she wanted to shoot Amanda. You decide you're going to help her instead of turning yourself in. And then all of a sudden, she's like, you look thin, baby. Are you eating?
Of course.
I would have broke down on the bitch, too. When Erica started reading her, I loved it. I thought it was fabulous. You know what our difference with this storyline is? Is that you think that this is still stereotypical, and I disagree with you on that.
This is what I'm going to say, people. You got the Latinos acting like idiots.
Okay, but see, then...
Let me finish.
All right, go ahead.
First of all, they get into this apartment. This apartment is so over the top. All right. You know, Carmen and Louisa start going at it like trailer trash. You know what I'm saying? And then like Erica is like the calm, nice person that's going to, you know, settle them all down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes and it gets crazy out of control. And then Louisa throws a gun. I mean, it's like campy.
It's campy and it's fabulous. But I disagree. And I'm going to tell you why I disagree when you say stereotypical. Because if every Latin that's ever been on All My Children behaved like this or acted like this, then I would agree with you that this show is stereotyping Latins. But it's not. I mean, we had the Santos clan on the show for years.
That's not my point that the stereotyping Latins.
But
this particular scene was a little over the top. And yeah. It made me at parts a little uncomfortable. No offense to y'all white people. I love white people. This is how some white people think about our people. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying that if all my children only represented Latins like this, then I would agree with you. But they have shown over the years, we've seen the Santos family, we've seen Maria the doctor. This is just this particular Latin people.
All right, fine.
Luckily,
the people who listen to this podcast, the people who watch the show who are true fans, I don't think would think this about Latinos. But I think like if you were like just sort of turning on the show and just watching it and seeing this clip, it's a little bit like, I'm on the fence, people. I would love your opinion because I'm a little on the fence. Just Friday's episode, I was like a little bit like, that's a little weird.
But now, do you feel like they're stereotyping white people when you see Opal or Roxy from One Night to Live and they're like trailer trash like Louisa?
Yes.
No, you're lying now because you know you love you some Opal.
I love you some Opal.
Opal gets all like.
But Opal is smart and brilliant and lovely. And to be fair, Carmen is smart and brilliant and lovely. I don't got no problem with her no more. At first I started like, that was weird. But I don't got no problem with her. She is so great and so wonderful and perfect. I love her.
I love her. I mean, I.
It's just, you got to admit, why did they have to go so over the top with that set?
That set was so over
the top.
You know,
Puerto Ricans, first of all, can't be afforded no Louis the 15 chairs.
Okay,
I'll tell you right now.
You know damn well that you have somebody in your family that has the house decorated like that because
listen,
I do.
When I was 7 years old, I had chairs like that. But even worse,
she had chairs like
but
that.
But even worse,
what?
It was covered in plastic.
Oh, I see.
So in the summertime, if you sweated and you moved too fast on a couch, you like burned your butt because it would like stick. It like you would slide over, but your butt wouldn't slide,
but
it would burn.
You had them.
Yeah.
And my cousin still has that.
Plastic covered, I swear.
No,
to God.
Not the plastic. She got rid of that. But she has that kind of furniture. That's what I'm saying. Like, you were saying it's stereotypical, and I was saying I know people with that.
Not anymore. I don't know people. I was 7 years old then. Okay,
come with me to visit my cousin.
That was only 16 years ago for me.
That was the funniest line of the podcast today.
Why is that so funny? 16 years ago, I was 7.
Okay.
It's true. All right, people. So that's how it ended. So it ended with the tables turned.
Yes, and we're going to see more this week. Because, again, this storyline is far from over. And I only hope that the writers will be smart enough to figure a way for Carmen to get out and insert herself into Erica's life. Because the two of them have some chemistry. They're funny.
There was one other storyline that is far from over. Another triangle, or should I say quadrangle? Hexagon is five. Hexagon is six.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. A heptagon is seven. Is that right? All right, listen. I don't know. I don't know nothing about nothing. But what I do know is there's a lot of people involved in the Blandy, Ryan, Greenlee, Aiden, Zach, Kendall storyline.
And I gotta tell you, I actually like this week with this storyline. I think it you know, I was telling Ashley before, and I said in the podcast that they were losing my interest because I felt like they didn't know where they were going with this. And I think part of it is because they changed direction. I think you guys really did not want Greenlee to hook up with Zach, and I think they that's where they were heading. And I think they changed direction, but they picked it up this week.
But a lot of our listeners and a lot of viewers are not liking this particular direction either. A lot of people do not want to see Ryan with Greenlee because they don't have chemistry.
Ryan and Greenlee?
I agree with Super Poster and everybody else a zillion percent. I don't know who you're talking about. I was not one of them.
You didn't like Ryan and Greenlee?
No, they didn't get, they got together as friends. I don't want to see two people who are friends who kid around about comic books, Dynamite Kiddo, and this and that. Ryan needs to have an adult, mature, passionate relationship. I am sick of fairy tales, Queen Annabelle this, Cat Dynamite Kiddo that, Nivea Go Lotion. I'm sick of it. I want passion from Ryan, and he and Greenlee, fizzle.
Well, again, I personally never, you know, when that triangle was going on, I was rooting for Kendall. The fact that Greenlee won never made sense to me.
There is only one couple that causes steam up and down the television set, every corner, every inch. My high definition television starts to smoke, and I hate to say it, people, it's Kendall and Ryan. You cannot deny it. When he grabbed her wrist this week and held it a little too long, my heart leapt. I felt a shot of adrenaline flash through my loins, up to my heart, into my brain. My ears started smoking. I was insatiable. It was incredible.
Ditto.
I'm right though, right?
Listen, what? Do you not listen to me when I'm on the podcast with you? Have I not been saying since this whole storyline started that I want Ryan with Kendall? I felt that they were never given a fair chance. Remember, he left the show just as the two of them were finally getting together.
Yes.
And then when he came back, it was that whole Greenlee triangle with her and Kendall. Okay. So I don't feel like Ryan and Kendall really had the chance to be together. I'm with you on this one, girl.
Oh, my God.
I want my Ryan with Kendall.
You were just talking about Ryan and Greenlee.
No, I'm saying that it looks like they're moving the storyline in a different direction because it seemed like everybody really was going to be upset if Greenlee fooled around with Ryan. Even though I think if Zach found out that his wife cheated on him, that'd be enough reason for him to want to go and, you know, fool around with somebody else.
Well, speaking of a direction that characters are going in, Greenlee may be going toward Ryan. Kendall may be staying with Zach. Blandy may be heading out of town.
Is that what you heard?
This is the rumor, people. This is not a spoiler because it is not official, but we have been hearing rumblings, if you will, that Blandy may be on her way out of Pine Valley.
Well, that's a shame because she finally got some balls, and I actually liked her this week.
I liked her this week, too. You want to talk about her a little bit? She was a woman on a mission. I'll give you my opinion on all that later, but you want to talk about Blandy a little bit?
Yeah, that's
it. Let's talk a little bit about Blandy. Blandy creeped me out at the beginning of the week.
Why?
She came to, because last week she was all pissed off at Greenlee because Greenlee gave her a verbal tongue lashing that made her bleed out her ears. All right? You don't mess with Greenlee because she will get you.
Real Greenlee's back.
Greenlee is back. So she decides that she's going to try to seduce Aiden just to one-up Greenlee, you know? So she goes in and she tries to convince Aiden that Greenlee's a player and that she's trying to get Ryan and that she's doing her best to come on to him. Come on, Aiden, let's have some fun. Why don't we, you and I, have some fun? And Aiden, in his inimitable, clever fashion, deduces.
I know that he was such an idiot.
That Blandy is coming on to him.
Are you coming on to me?
Are you coming on to me?
I just have one question for you.
I just have one question for you.
Are you coming on to me?
Are you coming on to me?
Duh! He was an idiot.
You think?
He's so
anyway,
stupid.
Then she gets all whiny. This was not Blandy's finest moment. She got so whiny about Ryan and Kendall and boohoo, boohoo, Blandy.
But see, I thought it was great that she had the gumption to go over there and do it. And I thought it was great that she failed at it because it just showed that Greenlee was right. There isn't anything memorable about her.
Man, that poor Blandy sure is bland.
I know. My heart went out to her.
It did, actually. I agree. It was a very human moment for her because she got rejected all over again.
I know.
And Aiden counsels her. He, like, talks her off the ledge, which was kind of whatever. It was fine. You know, it was what had to happen. Blandy leaves, but she kind of says under her breath that Greenlee might not come back to him. And then she tells herself that she deserves better. And then he kind of agrees too. He does like that silent, you know, Greenlee, are you coming home to me? Something like that, you know? So in the meantime, we got Ryan and Greenlee hanging out, all right? Greenlee's trying to sort of make him feel better because of all the stuff that Zach showed him. I love the references to Fight Club. I miss me some Fight Club.
You skipped over. You didn't tell them what happened because that wasn't. Oh.
I'm going a little bit in order, trying to.
Okay.
So Greenlee retells him everything. And it's so funny now, like, to hear Greenlee talking about how Jonathan tried to kill me, and he tried to kill my sister Lily, and then he held us hostage in a cave, and then you, Ryan, you shot Jonathan. It was so, like, funny to hear that sequence of events because it was so ridiculous and out of this world, and Ryan was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I what?
And the fact that he could give such a performance, because, you know, when you really hear this, I actually thought Cameron Matheson's been great this week.
I do, too.
I think that this is some of his best work ever. I mean, he's really showcasing himself as an actor because I honestly believe that he has no memory of all of this.
Yeah, I believe him, too.
I mean, and who would want memory of this? This was the Megan McTavish years.
And Greenlee kind of put a lot of all the woe and the trouble on herself, which I respected. She told him about how she wanted his baby, and the idea of having his baby kept her alive when she thought he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she looks at him with such love, which I really liked. And we saw a lot of Greenlee, like a lot of flashbacks to Greenlee, like in the old video. And I have to say, I know people disagree. I really miss the old video. Like the clarity of the actors' faces. Rebecca was so tan and golden brown back then. She looked beautiful.
Oh, you mean
beautiful.
The way they're shooting?
The way they're shooting now versus the way they used to shoot. Now it's so pale and white.
I agree with you 100%.
Oh, you do?
Okay. Yeah, are you kidding? I prefer the way General Hospital and One Night to Live looks. That's a soap opera.
Right.
You know, but I'll tell you one thing. It's still not as bad as Guiding Light now. So let's just pray for that they never go the Guiding Light route. Because the actors look even worse on Guiding Light.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion altogether there. Well, anyway, so then she doesn't want him to leave. He goes to leave and she doesn't want him to leave. And you're like, uh-oh, little Miss Greenlee, she's still into this man. So then, if you flash back to, we can either go back to, actually, Ryan. Ryan goes and he drops off Emma.
Right.
Ryan goes and he drops off Emma. And I'm thinking to myself, no wonder he don't want Blandy back. She a big whiner.
Mm-hmm.
She just whines and whines. What was me? What was me? I'll say it again, people. If it was me and my man had his memory, you know, lost or something like that, a tragic accident, what do? You're married to her. You said for better for worse, you stand by them. You said for better for worse. That's what you said. You make the man stay. You make the man live with you. You make him, you got to do it. What are you going
to
do?
Force someone to love you.
That's not the point. It's not that he doesn't love her.
He doesn't have his memory, though.
It's not, he doesn't not love her because of her. He doesn't not love her because he took a bullet to the head.
Yeah, but what you're not...
What if your loved one went to Iraq, got a bullet in the head, came back home, was disabled, and couldn't remember you and didn't love you? You would just let them just be like, well, you don't love me, so you leave them?
When they're telling me that they're in love with the person that they were once involved with 4 years ago? Yeah.
Listen, I'm saying I'm putting them under lock and key in my house.
I disagree. You can't
taking care of them, and then
if
in a year it doesn't change, then you got
to
reevaluate. It's been like 4 weeks.
You can't force someone to love you. It doesn't. They're not sure if he's getting his memory back, and like he is obviously.
It's only been a few weeks. She should have him next to her all the time, working on a memory, and see what happens. If after a year it don't happen, then she goes.
The person.
She's being whiny and bitchy and moany.
The person needs to want to get better. Ryan does not feel that there's a problem with him. He just wants Kendall. That's it.
all of those people are whiners. Ryan whines all week about how he did all those things. Woe is me. Woe is me. I did all these terrible things. Oh, my God. Blondie took her wedding rings off, by the way, people. That was pretty good. And she called Emma her daughter. That was harsh. When she said that, I was like, oh.
I'm telling you, the storyline is getting spicy. These people are getting...
You know, I was thinking that they were overworking Emma because she's been looking a little comatose lately.
Leave little Emma alone.
I don't mean her that she's bad. It's just she looks tired.
She's a little kid.
That's what I'm saying. Like, don't work her so much. But then Jason sent us in the stats, and I think she only worked once in March. So okay. She drew a picture of Erin, and then Ryan remembers Erin.
Oh, those scenes with Ryan at the grave.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Cameron was really good. So then, I felt for it.
So then he decides, he has all these memories, and he's going to run. He decides he needs to run away. Now, when he decides he needs to run away, Aiden has just happened to whisk Greenlee to the beach where they had their first date. And you could tell that Greenlee knew what was coming. She had a feeling because he was, like, really excited getting cozy with her and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was cracking up because, you know, the Pine Valley Beach is really beautiful this time of year. Really beautiful. I love the Pine Valley Beach. Those waves are just ripping. Right on that Pennsylvania coast. It's lovely. Anyway, every time Greenlee and Aiden touch, I just get a little more creeped out. I was even more creeped out at them kissing and touching than I was when Blondie came on to Aiden. I was creeped.
They have no chemistry.
None.
They have no chemistry.
Agreed. None. He asks her to marry him, and she sees it coming, and he pulls out a ring, and her phone rings. I'm going to tell you right now, if you proposing to somebody and their cell phone rings and you could tell they want to answer it, you got trouble. You got problems. You on a different page is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So
the truth finally comes out.
Yes. So after about, he picks up the phone. He sees it's Ryan on the caller ID. She kind of blows it off. And after about 10 minutes of, like, saying, I want to spend my life with you. I want to be with you, Greenlee. I love you, Greenlee. After about 10 minutes of that, she don't really answer. Aiden wonders, Greenlee, are you turning me down? Which is, if you translate it, because I speak Aiden, Greenlee, are you turning me down? And I'm thinking... That's pretty good deducing, Adam. That's very clever. Oh. Very, very clever. I was a little worried about Adam because at that point he said that he had to leave Greenlee because he had to go and think. And I was worried about him.
You thought he was going to strain something?
I thought he was going to strain something. I thought he was going to hurt himself. I didn't want him to hurt himself.
Don't, Aiden. Don't go think. Don't we don't want you hurting yourself.
You will hurt yourself.
Don't do that.
It's too strenuous.
Don't think.
So Greenlee runs over to Kendall's, and then she runs to find. She knows exactly where Ryan is. Ryan is at his old apartment that's now, like, rubble. And I love the graffiti. Did you see the graffiti on the wall where the rubble of Ryan's old apartment was? It said Tom, and it was, like, cursive. I'm going to tell you people right now, that don't look like no tag I've ever seen. It was, like, flowery Tom in cursive. It was so pretty.
It
is pretty. So anyway, the other funny scene for me at this point is not when Greenlee talks to Ryan, but when Aiden goes out drinking.
Yes.
We see Amanda for a brief second.
And you know what's funny was that Amanda had the line where she's like, hello, stranger. I was like, that's what they should have been asking you.
That's what I'm saying.
It should have been the other way around. Aiden should have been like, well, hello, stranger. Where have you been for like
actually,
the last
Aiden
months?
Should have been like, who are you?
Yeah,
who
exactly.
are you? Do I know you? So... So the funny part to me is when Aiden comes in and he goes decides to hit on Blondie again, that he just wants to be with Blondie and he wants to get back at Ryan.
I know, and Aiden, really, Aiden finally had a personality.
It was hysterical, people. I loved it so much.
I thought it was actually good, but now see, I like the fact that Greenlee turned him down because one of the things that annoys me about soaps lately is that people get together and 2 months later they're talking about marriage. Who does that in real life?
I know.
You know? I mean, and then when you think about their relationship, it's not like they've really had a lot of time to be together. I mean, first of all, they got together because she was on the run. And then she was in, like, a a cave downstairs, that well or whatever that was,
like
with Zach.
2 months or whatever.
For 2 months. You know what I mean? So, like, when have the two of them really been together for him to really be like, you're the one I want to spend the rest of my life
I
with?
I agree.
They spend a total of, what, 15 minutes together?
It was also out of character for Adam.
And I like
that. Don't you think? He's a little more sensible than that.
I don't think he has a, I don't really think he has a character. I thought it was really good for them to, for Greenlee to be the one to say, you know, like, let's not ruin it. Let's just, you know, it is what it is and da da da. But did you now, did you skip over her scenes with, when she went to go confront Kendall and, Greenlee?
Oh, yeah, I talked a little bit. What do you think? I didn't think it was that eventful.
Oh, I thought so. I liked it.
Tell him about
well,
it.
Well, I mean, Jordan. Basically, Greenlee went over to visit Kendall and Zach, and she wanted to find out
yes,
about Ryan.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
And
she yelled
basically,
at Zach.
She yelled at Zach. And I think she was right.
I think she was right, too.
I don't think it was Zach's place to get involved. I mean, I understand why Zach did it, but this goes to show you that Zach is human, too. He's not this perfect man. He's jealous. He's jealous that Ryan's after his wife.
You think anybody thought he thinks he's a perfect man?
Yeah, I think I look at what you guys in the podcast. You think he's very like noble, and then I don't think he's noble at all.
He's human in most ways, but he's human.
And you know what? And he crossed the line. And I was so glad when Greenlee read him for that. And I loved the fact that like Kendall was trying to reach out to Greenlee and like, what about not going in the zone? And what about, you know? And Greenlee was like, this is different, you know, because you know she felt for Ryan. And I don't think this has anything to do with her wanting Ryan like in a sexual way or anything like that. I think it had to do with like, you know what? Zach was wrong. You're kicking a person when he's down.
I agree with that.
You know? And that's the one thing that everybody's forgetting about Ryan. It's just like, good Lord, think about it. If all of a sudden you didn't remember the last 4 years of your life, you know?
I agree with that.
You know,
I mean,
I mean, yeah, he's been a little bit of a pain in the ass and he's after your wife, but you know what? He's been through something. Oh, I thought those scenes were really good.
Well, I loved his drunk.
Who? Aiden?
Aiden's drunk.
Yeah, Aiden was funny.
What did he say? How about I come over your place and we have a little bit of fun? Which is, how about I come over your place and we have a little bit of fun? And then he talked about being elephant drunk, which I don't know what that means. That must be a Cockney thing.
Yes. Is he Cockney?
Yeah, he's very Cockney. Can't understand a word he's saying. Okay. You can't understand a word he's saying. Basically.
Now we got to talk about how it ends.
Well, it ends.
It ends in a very good way.
In an excellent way. I mean, we didn't really talk much about Greenlee and Ryan, but basically all they did, like, it was funny because Ryan had recaps and memories, flashbacks of his old abuse days, which I still got to tell you, people.
What?
I don't think his dad was all that scary. I think the father in Good Times was a hell of a lot more scary than Martin's dad. And the father in Good Times was a nice man. You know what I'm saying?
I love me some John Amos.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that
I love
show
John
went downhill
Amos.
When
before,
he left.
Before John Amos dies, I need to meet him and thank him. Because he was the only TV father I'd ever seen in my life that was like my own dad.
I know.
Only one ever. To this day, I don't know another TV dad like him.
Devastated when they killed his
when
character
they killed him, I cried harder than when Jesse died.
And Florida was like, damn. Ooh, you remember that. I love that.
I had that. I have the whole series.
Oh, my
series.
God. You had that. See, I need to
actually,
get
no,
it.
No, I have season two.
1, 2, and 3. Those were the best seasons.
Yeah.
I was in the father
don't get any
there.
Of the seasons.
After
don't get any of the seasons.
It went downhill, though there was some good moments, like when Janet Jackson was on, his little abuse.
That was
Penny.
Fun, but it wasn't like, it
no,
wasn't
the first
deep storytelling.
The first
three
seasons were like awesome.
Amazing.
Good Times, one of the best shows.
Ever. So, okay. So, yeah. So, he does flashbacks. Greenlee sees him. And Greenlee is good. She calls him on a lot of his crap, which I liked. And he's, like, destined. He's, like, determined that he wants to be alone and blah, 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 and take care of himself. And Greenlee doesn't want to let him off the hook on that. She's what are you going to do? You're going to be alone? You're going to be alone by yourself? You know? So, and she called him on being a con, which I loved. I mean, she was just great this week. She was really, really great.
I felt
Greenlee.
Like our Greenlee was finally
our Greenlee
back.
Was back this week without a doubt.
Yeah.
But I'll let Jordan finish up the Blandy
well,
storyline.
Kendall went over there.
Yes.
Now, why was she going? But why was she going? She was going to try to find Ryan.
Yes.
Is that it? So she goes up there, and of course, when she walks in on like Aiden, like passed out drunk on the sofa, and Blandy like taking care
fending
of him.
Fending him off.
And so they have a discussion, and then at the very end, Aiden
Blandy
looks,
goes to fold the blanket because Aiden has crashed on the sofa. And Aiden forgets that Kendall's there.
And he like looks
that
up.
That Blandy is there, excuse me.
And he's like, well, hello there.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. He's like, hello, gorgeous. And then he like looks at her and he says, well, Greenlee rejected me, so why should we still feel so bad?
Why should we feel so guilty?
Guilty. There you go.
I don't know why we should feel so guilty.
The camera then pans to Annie quickly turning her head around with that blanket, and then Kendall having that look like, oh my God.
Flash forward to Monday.
Oh, it's going to be fun Monday because Kendall's going to explain that one.
Flash forward to Monday. Blandy says, why would you feel guilty, Kendall?
Yeah.
Why would you feel guilty about Aiden, Kendall?
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I have to say, that was a very good soap opera moment. That was like old school soaps.
Good
when the,
stuff.
When the truth comes out like that.
All right, we don't have a lot of time, people. I want to talk very briefly, and we don't really need even to say much about Jesse and Angie. They go to the comeback. They celebrate with Crystal and Tad. Gardner comes in. And actually, Crystal did a beautiful job of skedaddling him. She just was like, you know.
She did.
She asked him to skedaddle. I need you to skedaddle. It's Tad's first. It's Jesse's first day back. You know, we just want to be alone. I need you to skedaddle. So she didn't. I don't know if she said skedaddle, but I like that word.
Skedaddle. I know. I love that word. I haven't heard skedaddle in a long time.
So anyway, so I mean, not too much this week. They go, they celebrate, they're happy. Sam Woods asks Jesse to be an investigator. And I have to say, I love the scenes between him and Jesse. Very simple in the Pine Valley Inn. Just two very good actors talking. And I always like that. And then they get, Jesse and Angie get home in Josh's old apartment, we think. And
the fourth.
Yes, and they start reminiscing. Like, Jesse puts on that old cap. Oh. Angie has her old little virginity nightgown, you know, when she lost her virginity. And actually, she didn't lose it that night, right?
Because they got married. No, because they had to get married.
That's right. So I loved all the reminiscing. I thought it was really good, really important. And they decide to go out and get married again. But the guy that married them died.
Well, I would think so. I mean, he was 104 back then when he married them. That was 20 years ago.
And then his daughter, you know, tells him that. But then the wife comes, Mrs. Stiles. And
that
wasn't
the same actress, though, right? Because
I tried to compare the flashback. It didn't look like her. I was wishing it was. It would have been so great.
Well, you know what? This one was really good.
I loved her. She was wonderful.
She was crying up a storm. I was like, oh, look, she's loving it.
She was crying at their vows, because what they do is they retell their vows. And people, I'm crying my eyes out. Angie's crying her eyes out. Jesse's crying his eyes out. And they do this beautiful thing where they show the flashbacks in like a little, while Jesse's talking, sort of like on the scene, like a little transparent oval.
It was really good.
Like, people, you ever do those pictures when you're in second grade and they show you in the picture and your hands are like on your hands are like under your chin and you're smiling. And then in the corner, there's an image of you smiling, looking up like at God or something.
Yeah, it was like you're that. You're definitely kind Puerto Rican from
New
York.
I'm Puerto Rican, that's right. It was like that kind of picture. Yeah. But it was great. We were crying, and I love when Mrs. Stiles cried. I loved her.
I see.
Bring back Mrs. Stiles.
I gotta tell you, I was telling you that I was getting a little bit unnerved and worried about where they're going with Jesse and Angie, because I feel like they're still not dealing with it in a way that's realistic. I mean, so how many scenes have Frankie and, you know, Jesse had just together bonding?
We need more of that, for sure.
I mean, your father comes back after. You know what I mean? So I think it's still like. But they did have some beautiful moments on Thursday and Friday's
really
episode.
Nice.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see them reconnecting. I want them to really deal with the fact. And I thought it was, they were finally answering my questions. Like, for instance, they're not legally married. You know, at the beginning of the week, Jesse keeps saying, this is
because
my wife.
Because he's technically dead?
Yeah, because he technically died. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to deal with the ramifications of what's going on. They need to get remarried if they're going to, you know what I mean? And then also, they need to have his death certificate revoked. They got to, like, discover each other again. You change after 20-something
years. I agree with that.
I think I want to see them discovering each other again.
Yes, I agree with that.
And figuring out, you know, because, again, are they going to bring Jacob back? To cause trouble.
Well, they're bringing.
Let Darnell play.
They're bringing Cassie back.
Yeah, and I'm very upset about that.
Tell them why, Jordan. Tell them why.
They hired somebody from America's Next Top Model to be Cassandra.
Yeah, I know.
That's
her name, people.
And I say no,
say
no,
no, no,
no, no. This is that darn Judy Bly Wilson. Hideous casting director who thinks that you can hire people on looks and not talent.
You think Megan McTavish was evil? You look up evil in the dictionary, you will see Judy Bly Wilson's photo.
And you and me were talking about this the other day, and she said, but she did get some good people to look at Kendall. And I'm like, and for every Kendall, there's like 15 people that she hired that were awful. And may I remind Josh you Dumel. About Raquel, Brayden, I can't even remember the character's name, Jackson's sister, that Kit Montgomery. I mean,
what about the guy? Oh, she didn't get him, though.
Who?
The guy that came between Jenny and Greg, she didn't get him.
No, that was eons ago.
And he wasn't even that bad. He was
that was Tony Barkley. Yeah, he was good. Fine. He was a crazy person.
How does he know these people? How?
That was my era of All My Children. I love that. But, I'm upset about that because I told you guys I wanted Tika from One Night to Live. They don't nothing with Tika, and Tika's great.
Tika
from One Night to Live. She plays Evangeline's sister. She's that gorgeous, gorgeous Nubian princess
Did
on One
say
Night to Live.
Evangeline? Because I thought you said something else.
No, not... You're dirty.
You're weird.
No, Evangeline. That was Renee Goldsberry who played Evangeline, who was really popular.
That's right. I loved her a lot.
She didn't do it for me. I liked her sister, though. I love me some Tika.
Tika was good.
And I think they should have got Tika to be on All My Children.
Well, Judy Bly Wilson is evil because she has had some nasty casting. And ever since I told you people a long time ago, but ever since I read that article in Allure magazine,
Allure, of all things,
it was like reviewing the women of soaps, and it had all these pictures of like Bianca and Kendall and Greenlee and Simone, like mm-hmm. It was great. But they said to her, she said in the article, you know, we don't hire based on acting ability. We hire based on looks because you can learn acting, but you can't learn beauty.
And I'm
Made
sorry,
me
but
sick.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What you think is beautiful, me,
and
I think is beautiful.
And tell me right now, two of my favorite actors on daytime, Bianca Eden Regal and Heather Tom, neither one is like what you would call textbook beautiful. I'm sorry, but they're not.
I don't think Heather Tom's attractive at all.
She's not that attractive. She looks good with brown hair, though.
Have you been watching Bold and the Beautiful?
No, is she good on it?
Oh, she's part of that horrible, campy storyline that's bad. No.
She's a good actress,
She's a good actress, but she looks a little... I hate to say it, but she looks a little
petunia pig. I knew you were going to say it.
She does, just a little bit. I'm sorry. I know that's horrible
that girl can move a storyline. Well, she's a fantastic, fantastic actress.
One of my favorite actors on daytime TV is Tony Geary, and he's no looker.
That's true.
He is no looker, and I can watch him forever.
Saying. So to say that acting is not important makes me crazy.
I'm sorry, but you know what? What makes a person attractive is when you like them, when they got personality, when they're interesting to watch.
Absolutely.
And that's what you should be looking for, Judy Bly Wilson.
Every so often you get both. And my favorite example is Josh Duhamel, one of the most talented men on daytime, one of the most wonderful looking, beautiful creatures on this planet. He's disagreeing with me. How are you disagreeing with me?
No, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm upset about the fact that they ruined the storyline by making it be that Erica never got that abortion, and I'm buying it, and then you don't use him.
You're talking about Josh. I'm talking about Josh Duhamel. Leo.
Oh, I think it's about Josh.
Well, listen, I'll agree about Colin Egglesfield. That's Josh. He looked at me so funny. I'm like, what are you talking
about? Josh.
No. He's cracking up.
Oh, Josh Duhamel.
Yes, Josh Duhamel. Just say yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Josh Duhamel, yes.
All right, well, let me wrap up. Let's wrap up JR. What do you say? Because we don't have much more to say about Jesse and Angie, right?
No, I don't think we that.
They're good. They're great. They're good. We love them. Absolutely.
It was a good... Two episodes.
Good week. I have a feeling I'm going to disagree with Jordan on one more thing. The final thoughts for the day. I'm liking JR and Babe. I am. What is wrong with me? Maybe I need to get my eyeglass prescription adjusted.
Yeah, I think you and Jesse both.
I'm liking them.
I'm liking JR. I'm not liking
Babe. She
looks
really... Look, she has now had her break-in period. When Blandy came on the show, they were dressing her in mom jeans and nasty hair and makeup. It takes a while for the soap people to figure out how to dress and make up a person, do their hair. And as Taylor used to say, they got to pay them good for that. You got to tip them. You know what I'm saying? You got to give them a little good Christmas tip, Hanukkah tip, Thanksgiving tip. they do your hair and makeup real
Taylor,
nice after
scandalous.
That.
You're scandalous. You're like Britney Spears.
It's true. So Babe has hit her zone. She does nothing like Babe. Don't get me wrong, people. I agree with you there because she's like calm, tame, normal beige clothes, beige makeup. Nothing like original Babe at all. But very attractive. I mean, her makeup is beautiful. Her clothes are beautiful. She, with JR, I'm feeling a little something there. What is going on with me? What? what is wrong with me? I there's something going on. My whole, my voice is changing, my face, everything. What is going on? Ah!
Ah! Damn it, don't ever let me hear you say that again.
Oh. So I got some Wake sense slapped into me.
Okay?
Jaren, babe.
New babe. And you, I'm going to tell you why I don't like New Babe.
New Babe, why?
New Babe, I'm going to tell you why I don't like her. Because in that scene when, like, JR was losing it because he has the fever and he's sweating, I think that the makeup people came and they spritzed some spray on JR and they said, babe, come here, we're going to spritz some stuff on your eyes that look like you're crying because those glycerin are the fakest people. Tears.
She was not wiping her glycerin tears.
Especially after you see Elizabeth Rodriguez doing the crying for real. You're watching Carmen crying, and you're watching the tears build up and they come pouring out. And then all of a sudden you see Babe and there's just, like, wet stains under your eye that look all dried up. It was nasty. She was so bad. I didn't like that. Didn't like it.
Well, basically, the real quick story is basically Jared gets sick this week.
Again.
And they're finally starting to figure out what the heck is going on. He got hepatitis, people.
Because Angie is a good doctor. Unlike Dr. Joe and everybody else in that hospital.
Why has nobody figured out what that wound on his hip is, though?
It took Angie and Frankie to be like the ones like, this looks bad. We need to figure out what that is.
No, nobody has thought about this.
Nobody's thought about that yet.
Until now.
It was good.
You, one thing was a little strange to me, though.
What?
When Crystal came to the hospital, she was wearing some hippie damn ass flower raincoat. Did you see that raincoat?
She borrowed that from Opal. Yeah, it was very, like,
it was
bizarre.
Very Opal. It was very crazy. Bizarre. Crazy. I mean, and I think Crystal Bobby Eakes is beautiful. I am such a fan.
I don't like
fan.
Her new haircut.
I don't know. She does no wrong. She's like walking on water in my book. I love her.
I don't like the new haircut.
She can wear anything. She wore that yellow top on Thursday, I think. She looked perfect. Perfect. She didn't even pull off this coat. I don't think Erica Kane could pull off this coat.
No, the coat was kind of hideous.
It was bad.
You buy it on Opal, but you do.
But it was funny because JR gets this fever. He starts calling for Dixie. I was like, I want Dixie back too.
We all want Dixie back.
We all want her back, and not as no angel.
Those were some good scenes between him and Adam. JR really, Jacob Young was good.
I love him. I do.
I really thought he was really,
when
really
he's
good.
When he's playing JR, not as evil, not as like, ha, evil, then I really love him. He's so complex when
just
he plays
cut that. The hair.
The hair's bad.
Oh, I gotta cut the
Jacob
hair.
Young, that hair is bad.
Gotta cut the hair. What are you thinking?
I need a man back. He's not a man. He's like a girl with that hair. Yeah, no offense, man, but like anyway. But my favorite, some of my favorite scenes of the week, Opal and Richie. I love me some Opal and Richie.
Look, Opal, whenever Jill Larson's on as Opal, I'm happy.
Well, she was amazing because basically what happens is Babe surprises Richie and says that she's got a place for him to live because he's not sick anymore. He's out of the hospital. And so she goes and brings him to Opal's boarding house. Now, Jordan and I were discussing this.
Opal's boarding house?
Yes. Where the hell is this boarding house?
I don't... Yeah, like, because I was looking at the set and I'm like, I thought she got the Cortland Manor in the divorce. The last time I remember was them saying that she got the Cortland Manor when they divorced and she opened, like, Glamorama 2 there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing, you know. So, like, I'm looking at where is she living? And what happened to Myrtle's boarding house?
I don't know, people.
Maybe Myrtle finally turned somebody down.
I guess. So, basically, when Opal opens the door, she was really thin. And I was thinking, maybe instead of Opal, I should call her Olive Opal. Instead of olive oil, Olive Opal.
She's always been thin, though.
She was really thin, though. Her little arms. And Richie was pissed. And Babe set him straight, which was good. And then he tries to play her, but she wasn't no dummy. Babe called him on it.
Yeah, she was a little tough.
And then Opal heard him. So she's got him figured out, and she starts to read his cards. And I was kind of like hoping that she would really call him. Actually, she kind of did call him on it, though.
Mm-hmm.
She said, if I'm reading these cards right, it says something was stolen and something was buried. Am I reading these cards right, Richie? And he goes,
good.
And he goes, no. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm still in amazement. You sounded just like Jill Larson. That was
fabulous. Oh, stop it. Stop it.
I love that. You're good.
It was a great scene. Anyway, I love these two. I love Opal. I've heard rumors about her demise, and I'm not standing for it.
What?
I've heard rumors.
Well, she's not on contract, so they can't really demise her. I mean, they just call her in when they need her or use her.
That's what I'm saying. So how could that be true?
She's been off contract for like a good couple of years now.
They get rid of Opal, I'm going to revolt. I'm telling you.
It's stupid. It's stupid. These are the kind of characters that we love. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are people that we want to see. We want to see our characters interact. Like, this is what I was telling you about. Jesse, I know a lot of people aren't around from the Jesse and Angie era, but a scene with Dr. Joe and Opal, seeing Jesse saying, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Even Palmer. Palmer knew Jesse.
Chompers.
You need to leave my Palmer Courtland alone.
I like to call him Chompers, people, and because whenever I see him, he kind of looks a little bit skeletal. So I think of him going like this. Chompers.
So not nice. Don't snap on my Palmer.
I love him too. Come on.
I will look. I just feel like we need, I don't know. I like the older characters. I love my Opal. Right. And bring my Opal back full time.
All right, people. Well, listen, we have talked a lot this week. Thank you for listening to us. So glad to do the podcast for you. If you want to write us, we really love hearing from you. You can do so at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page and enter a nice little comment for us. We like your comments too. www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you go to our website. You got links to that. You got links to our email, all that stuff. www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Paola, te quiero. Te quiero.
No, Felipe, yo quiero otro hombre.
¿Quién? ¿Quién es este otro hombre?
Buenas noches.
¡Conando!
¡Sí, Conando! ¡Vete!
¡No! ¡Te voy a matar! ¡No!
Por fin eres mía.
Sí, pero tengo un secreto.
¿Un secreto?
Sí, Pepito.
Hola, papá.
¿Yo soy el papá de Pepito?
Sí, eres el papá de Pepito.
No.
¿Ah? No es posible que tú eres el papá de Pepito, porque Conando es impotente.